We'll save that one for later.
All right. Well, if you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 23. First book of the New Testament, the book of Matthew, and chapter 23. Do appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning. I don't know how many people you have preached behind this pulpit that return as often as I do. I've been here, you know, several times over the past year and things like that. But one thing I would say to you is that it is a diminishing thing to hear good preaching in churches. It's a diminishing thing. It is not something you can just go anywhere and stop in any church and hear sound good preaching. But I can honestly say that, and I'm not always preaching when I'm here, so I'm not saying that. I have been here a couple times when I wasn't preaching for send-off services and things like that when Matt's been traveling through and things like that. Oftentimes your pastor preaches when I'm here, and every time I go away thinking, oh, that's one of the best sermons I've heard in a long time, every time I come here. And you guys get to hear that all the time, and if I could say anything to you this morning, I'd say, you hear good preaching. And pastors get discouraged. And pastors' families get discouraged. So the fact that this church has been here as long as it has, and that it's had one pastor for this long, tells me that it has encouraging members in this church. Because a pastor's not going to stay somewhere where the people don't want him. He just isn't. And so that is an encouraging thing to know that there is a solid church here. Matthew chapter 23, and we'll start reading in verse number 1. And God's Word says, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to His disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do ye not after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and large the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." Let's pray. God, we do thank you again to be in this house. God, we thank you for your church. God, we thank you for the preaching of your word. God, the songs that were sung, the offerings that were given, we ask that you bless it. Lord, we thank you for how you've been with us this week. And God, you've always protected us. You're a good Father and you're a good God, and we thank you for that. You're faithful. Lord, we know that we can come into this house and we can hear the preaching of your word, and that you'll edify us, God, that you'll exalt Jesus Christ in our midst. God, we know that you'll evangelize those that are lost and those that are hurting in sin. God, we thank you for what you're going to do in this next period of time. In Jesus' precious and instructing name I pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 23, Jesus talking to, look at verse 1, it says, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples." You know that there's a difference between those two? A mingled crowd and the disciples. You know that every time preaching is done, that every time the Word of God is opened up and an instrument of God stands behind the pulpit, every time that your Sunday school teacher opens up the Bible and starts to teach a lesson, every time you open up the Word of God and start to read, every time there's two groups of people. There's a multitude, and then there's the disciples. Which one are you? Are you in the mingled group that's there to find out, well, what's this, who is this a prophet? Or are you there to find out what can this preaching do for me, or what am I going to get out of this service? Or are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you here this morning to learn something from God and to grow closer to Him? Or are you just here this morning? Are you just with the multitude? Can I say the multitude listens to God and then the multitude crucifies Him? The multitude followed Him into the wilderness. The multitude was fed by Him. And the multitude left Him. The disciples are the ones that wrote the New Testament books. The disciples are the ones that were the foundation of the church. The disciples are the ones that preached and spread the gospel throughout the towns and throughout the cities. It was the disciples that furthered the gospel. Which one are you? Every time the preaching of God's word is brought forth, there's two groups. There's the multitude and the disciples. Notice it didn't say that Jesus preached to the multitude, which included the disciples. It says the multitude and the disciples. So I pray that my heart is open this morning to listen to God's word, and I pray that your heart is open this morning to listen to what God has to say. Verse 2, Jesus Christ spoke, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say, and do not." Now, we're not going to look this morning at the preaching that Jesus Christ does. We're not going to look at this morning at the Pharisees. We're not going to look at the Sadducees or the Herodians. We're not going to look at the fact that they said one thing and did something else. We're not going to look at that this morning. I believe that in these 12 verses here in Matthew chapter 23, there's a couple things we can look at, but one of them is going to be that Jesus Christ teaches us to respect some different things. He teaches us to respect some different things in these 12 verses. The very first thing He teaches us to respect is God-given authority. God-given authority. Now, we know these Pharisees were hypocrites. Look back at chapter 22, the whole chapter. Jesus runs into Herodians that try to question Him. He runs into Sadducees that try to question Him, and Pharisees that try to question Him. And He says, "You're a bunch of hypocrites. You say one thing and you do something completely different." He says, even in verse 5, He says, "They make broad their phylacteries and large the borders of their garment." They're there for a show. They're there to draw attention and praise. They're not there. They're not close to God. They're not following His word. They say one thing and do something completely different. So that's not what I want to look at. Even with that in mind, look at verse 3. "Even knowing that they're hypocrites, more than even we do, Jesus Christ, that searches the heart, the God and Creator, their Savior," He said, "I know they're hypocrites," but look at verse 3, He says, "All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do." Even though they're hypocrites. Even though they say one thing and do something completely different. Even though they like to pray out loud so everybody can hear them, and they like to draw attention to themselves, and they like everyone to see when they put their money in the offering, and they like everyone to see what they wore to church today, and they like everyone to see how good they did, or they like to broadcast the good deed they did this week. Even though they're hypocrites, Jesus Christ still says, not only should you observe what they say, but you should do it. Now that tells me that Jesus Christ is teaching us to respect authority. Because the authority that they had, look what it says in verse 2, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat." The power that they have, the authority that they have, was given to them by God. God placed Moses in that place of authority, and God is keeping that place of authority. And by the way, these disciples are going to sit in that seat of authority, and you and I are going to sit in that seat of authority in the millennial reign and for eternity as kings and priests, because God established that authority and is keeping it and will continue to establish it. And God says, respect that authority. Respect that authority. If you'll turn to Romans chapter 13, keep your place here in Matthew chapter 23, but if you'll turn to the right about five or six books, you'll find Acts and then the book of Romans. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. God gave that authority. God is keeping that authority. So when you respect that authority, you're not respecting that person. You're respecting the God that is keeping that person. You're not respecting that individual. You're respecting that God-given level of authority. But you don't know what my mother does, or you don't know what my father does, or you don't know what I know about that teacher, or you don't know what I know about that friend, or you don't know how that boss acts when no one's around, or you don't know. God gave that place of authority. If God didn't want that person there, they wouldn't be there. If God didn't allow that person to be there, if it wasn't just for them to be there, they wouldn't be there. But God says respect authority. Respecting the authority is respecting the God that keeps the authority. Romans chapter 13 in the first verse it says, let every, that's you and I, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be ordained, the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Is that you this morning? Bucking authority, fighting authority. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power that comes from God? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. God blesses those that follow authority. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. That's you this morning. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Whose wrath is he executing? Verse 5, wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Can I tell you one reason that Jesus Christ is teaching that multitude and teaching those disciples to respect authority is so that they can avoid the wrath of God. God gave power to these people. God gave power to parents. God gave power to the pastor. God gave power to the father. God gave power to the mother. God gave power to the older brothers and older sisters. God gave power to the government. God gave power to the home. God gave power because when you don't respect that authority, that power is going to keep you in line. Respect authority. Why? Because God will bless you for it. Respect authority. Why? Because if not, the wrath of God is upon you. Respect authority for your conscience' sake. At the end of verse 5, it says, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Can I tell you that you need a clean conscience? You need a pure conscience. And one of the ways you can have that is to respect authority. One way that you can have that is to be obedient to the ones that God has placed as an authority figure in your life. The structure, the rules, the discipline, the design, respect it. You say, but you don't know how they are. Those Pharisees were hypocrites. Jesus Christ even said, they do this, they do this, they do this. And the entire chapter before, he ripped them apart. But he still said to those under them, respect them. Honor them. Be obedient to what they say. Observe and do what they say. Continue reading in verse 6. And we'll finish in verse 8. For this cause, pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. One side note, a lot of people are struggling with the fact that this new health care bill, and we're not going to rip the health care bill apart tonight, we're just going to give some truths from God's Word, that it funds abortion. I'm not saying that's right. But do you know that the funding that Jesus Christ, remember when he told Peter to go catch a fish and take that coin? Can I tell you that coin was given to the Roman Empire, the same Roman Empire that killed all the children under 2 years and under when they were trying to kill Jesus Christ? Give tribute to who tribute is due. Verse 7, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. In that context, verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another. Can I tell you, if you have an authority figure in your life and you're not respecting that authority, you owe them something. You have a debt to pay to them, you owe them something. Respect authority to avoid God's wrath. Respect authority to have a clean conscience. Respect authority to avoid debt. Because you owe that authority to them. Can I say, as a note, imitation is not respect? Imitation is not respect. Following what they do is not respect. You don't have to follow what somebody does and mimic them to a T and mimic their behavior and do as they do to respect them. That's why Jesus Christ said, what they say, observe and do, but don't do as they do. Just because somebody does right or does wrong, if God says respect them, respect them. If they make mistakes, respect them. If they're godly, respect them. If they're ungodly, respect them. Respect the position that God has placed them in. Respect, but don't imitate their mistakes. You don't have to repeat parents' sin. But you do have to respect parents. You don't have to repeat your boss's sin. I currently, recently was moved into a new position and a new job thing that I'm doing there. And I had three different people train me because of some different things that were going on. I had three different people train me, and every single one of them would say, you know, you can do this, nobody really knows. Or, you know, if you do it this way, it's going to come out of your check. You might want to do it this way. Or, hey, this is the way we always do, but you didn't hear that from me. Can I tell you, I just said, okay. Because I respect that this guy's my boss. I'm not going to do as he does, but I'm also not going to fight him on it because I'm going to respect him as my boss. But I'm not going to do what he was saying to do when it came to wrong and to lying. Is there an authority figure in your life that you're bucking against? Can I tell you that is going to affect your relationship with God? That is going to affect your conscience. And you owe them a debt. Because God placed them there, and you're fighting, not that person, but you're fighting God. And in Matthew 23, he says, observe what they say and do it. Respect authority. If you'll turn back again to Matthew chapter 23, if you keep their place there, as I said, we'll go back and forth, and we'll also be quick this morning. Continuing on in our reading in verse number 3, all therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and large the borders of their garment. Love the uppermost rooms at feasts and chief seats in the synagogues. They're teaching God's word, but they're not following it. They're preaching God's word, but they're not following it. They're instructing as according to God's law, but they're not following it. The part to respect, therefore, is the law, the teachings. Not only should we respect authority, but we should respect, I believe Jesus Christ is teaching right here, the laws and commandments of God. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 6. Famous text, a famous set of verses here in Jeremiah chapter 6. You hit Isaiah, you've gone too far to the left. You hit Ezekiel, you've gone too far to the right. Jeremiah chapter 6. Respecting the commandments, the articles of the law, the teaching of God's Word. Can I tell you, there's a movement in America today. There's a movement in the world today. This is, 1 John says, the last times. This is the last days. The spirit of Antichrist is in the world today. There is a teaching that's going diametrically opposed to the Word of God. And we need to stick with the laws, commandments, the articles, the ordinances of God. The New Age says we've got better ways. The New Age says we can have a greater effect our way. Driving down the road the other day, I saw a bumper sticker that said coexist. And all the letters of the word coexist were symbols. One was David's star. The other one was a Muslim symbol. The other one was a cross. The other one was something else. I don't recognize. Okay, creepy. But it said coexist, and it was using, we should just get along. Don't you know how big this church could be if it wouldn't preach some of the things that are in this book? Don't you know how many people could pack out this building, how much money this church could make? Don't you know how big this building, you could reach other people. Don't you know you could do that if you just abandon a few of the teachings in this book? Can I tell you, Jesus Christ was teaching them not only to respect authority, but He was teaching them to respect the old ways. He was teaching them to respect God's ways. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 6. It didn't look right. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. Ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set a watchman over you, saying, this is the authority, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Catch this in verse 19. Hear, O earth. Behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. They've rejected the ways of God. Can I tell you, there's an instruction that God has sent forth. This is the church of God. This is the church that Jesus Christ established. This is the home that Jesus Christ established. This is the world that Jesus Christ created. And God said to that world, He said, you've rejected my ways. You thought you have a better way. You've rejected my authority. You think you have more authority. You've rejected my instruction. You think you can have a greater effect on people your way. And He says, respect the laws and commandments of God. Can I tell you, don't leave the pure holy songs that God's given to us through His people. The Bible says in the book of Colossians, you know this verse, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, the wise words of God. How can we get them? Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You can have an old song that fits in that category, and you can have a new song that fits in that category. But can I tell you, the Word of God has not changed, and there is a way of singing, and there are songs today that doesn't make doctrinal sense. It does not teach and admonish one another. It does not come from the Word of God. It is not the songs of God. Can I tell you, don't leave those old paths. They might be new songs. They might be old songs. But the words of Christ are in them. Can I tell you, don't leave those songs. You're losing teaching. You're losing instruction. You're losing the paths of God. Is there music, is there singing in your life that does not line up with the words of God? That does not teach and instruct and admonish you to get closer to God? The old paths. The old songs. Do you respect the commandments of God? Do you respect the oracles of God? Do you respect the teachings of God? Not only does He give us in our church, in this structure, in the church of God, in this church age, songs He's given us preaching. Can I tell you the New Age says, and I don't know who the New Age is, I just know they're New Age. The New Age says, let's chat. The New Age says, join us next Sunday for our discussion. Can I tell you, you cannot replace preaching. You cannot replace the centrality of the preaching of God's Word. Do you notice this morning that this pulpit is not over there? Do you notice this pulpit is not over there? Do you notice that there is a pulpit? Do you know why? It's not because of me. It's not because of your pastor. It's not because of the song leader this morning. It's not because of any other reason other than there is a central force that has to be the Word of God and the preaching of God's Word. And the bottom line is that's not easy sometimes. It's not easy to sit and listen to yourself get preached at sometimes. Sometimes your toes get stepped on. Sometimes you are convicted. And it's not a discussion. A lot of times it's a one-way street. It's not a chat. It's God's Word and it's God's preaching. You know the verse in 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. They don't have the power of God. You leave and you take out the preaching of God's Word and you don't have the power of God. Are you lacking in power in your life? Is your spiritual walk lacking in power in your life? You need to be under sound preaching. You need to stay under sound preaching. And you need to listen to sound preaching. Don't be in the multitude. Be the disciple. Don't be in the mixed, mingled crowd. Be the disciple. Not only do you need to be under sound preaching, you need to listen. You need to heed. You need to be submissive to good, sound preaching, and hopefully you'll get it starting Wednesday night. Maybe next Sunday morning. But for now, you'll have to endure this. And just a little bit more of it. Without preaching, we are powerless. The preaching is the power of God. Without preaching, we are prideful because it's not easy. I want it to be a two-way street. I want it to be a discussion. So, yeah, that's how you feel, but here's how I feel. No, preaching, you have to be humble to be preached at. You have to be humble and go to God in humility to accept the preaching of God. Without preaching, we're powerless. Without preaching, we're prideful. Without preaching, we're wayward. We don't know what God's way is. We learn it from listening to preaching. Can I say this morning, without preaching, many of us are unsaved. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. There are many that are in the chats, in the discussions. It's a two-way street. I'll listen to what I want to, but I'm not going to listen to what I don't. And because of that, many are unsaved. You want to see that person to your left and your right, to those in your youth group, to those that are your neighbors, to those in your workplace, you want to see them saved, get them under the preaching of God's Word because they're not getting saved by the chat. And they're not getting saved by the discussion. And they're not getting saved by the Pharisees. And they're not getting saved by the Sadducees and the Herodians. They get saved by the preaching of God's Word. Without the preaching of God's Word, we're carnal. 1 Corinthians says, which things also we speak through preaching, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but with which the Holy Ghost teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The chit-chatting and the discussions, it's man's wisdom. It's man's Word. The Holy Spirit's not in it. The Holy Ghost of God is not in it. So there is a multitude of carnal people. We still have this nature that's in us, this body, that is carnal. How do we be spiritual? Preaching. Preaching of God's Word. We need to have a respect for God's ways. His hymns, His psalms, His spiritual songs, His preaching. Just two illustrations there of God's ways. 2 Timothy says, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Lawfully. As a church, as an individual, as a family, as people this morning, as disciples, you're striving for the mastery, you're striving for the crown. If you don't strive lawfully, you will not achieve that crown. And how can you know without a preacher? You need to be under the preaching of God's Word, and you need to be listening to the preaching of God's Word so you can strive for the masteries and achieve that crown so you can strive according to His Word and according to His laws and according to His commandments so you can strive lawfully. Psalm says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Respect God's authorities. Respect God's ways. Back to the book of Matthew, chapter 23. You've got your finger there. Just keep keep it there. Matthew chapter 23. Important thought here. We'll quickly move through. Matthew chapter 23, verse 4. What these hypocrites were doing, what these Pharisees were doing. 23 and verse number 4. For they bind heavy burdens, grievous to be borne. Lay them on men's shoulders, for they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men, and to do these other things. Beginning of verse 4, for they bind heavy burdens. Can I tell you, I believe Jesus Christ is teaching us here, and we'll see this in other verses as well, but He's teaching us not only to respect authority and to respect the laws of God as to observe them and to do them, but He's also teaching us to respect others' burdens. Others' burdens. Can I tell you, it's not easy to live in the world. Can I tell you, it's not easy to be in sin. It's not easy to follow all the cardinal doctrines of such and such church. It's not easy to follow all the teachings of such and such religion. It's not easy to be an atheist. It's not easy to be a Muslim. It's not easy to be a Catholic. It's not easy to be blah, 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 blah. It's not easy to follow all of these man's religions and man's rules. And Jesus Christ says, a burden has been placed on the lost. A burden has been placed on these people. And it was the will of Jesus Christ that those burdens be removed. It was the teaching of Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take your yoke upon. It's easy. My burden is light. Jesus Christ wants us to respect the burden that is on the lost, to respect the burden that is on the carnal Christian, to respect the burden that is on people. Respect that burden. You're in the book of Matthew. Keep your spot there, but just go back. I just want you to see this. I'd read it if it wasn't so close. In chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. The verse I just bumbled through starts in verse number 8. Matthew chapter 11. I want you to catch these words. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and, get that, learn of me. When you learn of Jesus Christ, you learn that He wants us to respect people's burdens. That He wants us to remove people's burdens. Bear ye one another's burdens. There are those in this room right now that have burdens on their spiritual lives. If your emotions were a bird right now, they would not be able to get off the ground, and as high as they could get, they would be dragged down, because there are those in this room right now with burdens so heavy, with burdens so strong, that it is dragging you down, and you don't have peace in your life, and you don't have joy and contentment within you because of burdens. Galatians 6, to bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill what we're supposed to be respecting, the law of Christ. We should have that mentality or that mind that Jesus had when He had that 4,000. Now, here in the book of Matthew, just a little bit later on from chapter 11, He sees those at the 4,000 and He says, they've been following me for so long and I know that they're hungry. And I tell you, Jesus is looking out in this room right now and He says, they've been following me. Is this you? That you've been following Jesus Christ for years now. You've been following the Word of God for years now. But there's burdens in your life that are dragging you down. And could the next 5 years be a little bit lighter? And could the next week be a little bit lighter? Jesus Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He looks out to those that have been following Him. He looks out to those that have been heeding His instruction. He looks out to His disciples, to you this morning, and He says, you're hungry, I will feed you. I stand at the door and knock. He'll come in and sup with you. He'll come in and feed you. Because there's a burden in your life. Have a respect for those that are around you that have burdens in their life. The unsaved, they need to be saved. The Christians are being dragged down. Maybe it's circumstances in their life. But they've got burdens. You know the hymn that says, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. You don't have peace. It's Jesus Christ that lifts you up out of those elements. It's Jesus Christ that lifts you up out of that sea of discouragement and sets you on a solid rock. Jesus said, after He saw those 4,000, He said, "I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with Me now 3 days and have nothing to eat." He has compassion on those following Him. Back to Matthew chapter 23. He has compassion on those. He said, "I'm not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance." There is a burden of sin on the unsaved. What would Jesus Christ do about others' burdens? What did Jesus Christ do about other burdens? Listen to this verse, if you will. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22 says, knowing that the burden of sin is death, Jesus Christ, who His own self bare our sins in His body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Respecting others' burdens, Jesus Christ took them on Himself. The Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens. Remember, respect that burden. Respecting is not imitation. You don't need to take burdens on yourself. You don't need to be dragged down yourself. You don't need to experience sin, as many have said, "Well, I can help others with their sin because I've been through it." And I tell you, respecting that burden is not imitation. Respecting that burden of sin is not experiencing that sin yourself, but stay away from it. That way you can help them out of it. It's like climbing down into a pit to help somebody else that climbed down into it to get out. You're both in the pit. Stay out of it. Respect is not imitation. Be free from sin. The truth will make you free. As we're back in Matthew chapter 23, look again now at verse number 11. "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." Matthew 23 and verse 11. "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." Can I tell you, it says, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." Respect the service of God. I'm not talking about this service that's happening right now. I'm talking about the work, the labor. I'm talking about the service of God. You know, there are many that will not serve God because they don't think that's the way it should be done. And I tell you, there are many that don't serve God because they think it's a waste of time. And I tell you, there are many that don't respect the service, literally making yourself a servant and serving God. There are many that do not respect the service of God. Jesus Christ said, respect authority. Jesus Christ said, respect the teachings and the law of God. And He's teaching, I believe, right here to respect the service of God. Can I ask you, this morning, can I ask you, do you feel that visitation is a waste of time? Is it you this morning that feels that witnessing is not the way that God does it? That's for someone else. Is it you this morning that thinks that on Wednesday night, as the prayer list is read, that it's a waste of time and it's boring? Do you feel that teen camp or the junior camp that you guys are funding, sending your children to, and taking the bus and the van and traveling expense and all these things, you feel it's a waste of time? Sunday school, the teaching time, revival meetings, missions conferences, tithes and offerings, do you feel it's a waste of time? Do you feel that it's not the service of God when people explain their testimonies or how God's worked in their life or what God's brought them through? Missions. You feel it's a waste of time. Is your wallet giving the missions? Is your prayer giving the missions? Are you in the service of God, or do you not have a respect for the work, the labor, and the service of God? You know, it was Jesus Christ that said, the laborers are few. It was Jesus Christ that said, the field is white. There's a work to be done. You know the song that says that the house of God is full, but there's nobody out there working? Is it because of people in the house of God, not the unsaved, not the other church denominations that are wrong? I'm talking about in this church, in these pews, are there people in the sound of my voice right now that says, the service of God is not for me. It's for someone else. If you're here this morning, there's a work that can be done by none other than through you. If you're here this morning, there is a service, there is a work, there is an outreach, there is a way of edifying, there is a way of evangelizing that can be done by none other than by you. God has worked in your life. He's brought you to a place to work with others. Can I tell you that all of those things that I mentioned, from visitation and witnessing, to offerings and tithes, to the giving to missions, to prayers, to the testimony time, to the preaching of God's Word, to the singing, can I tell you that all of those things are based on biblical principles? If you have a respect for the Word of God, and if you have a respect for His teachings and for His commandments, have a respect for the service of God, for the labor and for the work. If you have a respect for authority, have respect for the way it's designed, the structure, and become a part of it. Get plugged in to the work of God. There is something that you can do. But you notice in verse 12, it says, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. You know that it requires humility to serve God. It requires, I was talking to somebody just recently, just in the past couple of weeks, a young man who's called to preach and has gone to school and is ready to preach and things like that. And he said, I just think this is where God would have me to go, and this is what God would have me to do. And I asked him a question. I said, if you become an assistant somewhere and you're working for a pastor and you disagree with 25% of what he believes, will you still be able to follow him? And he said, probably not. I didn't go any farther than that. I just looked at him, and we both knew what was being unsaid. There's a submission problem. There's a following problem. Why? Because I'm exalting myself. And for me to follow, and for me to serve God, and for me to respect authority, and for me to respect His Word, I've got to humble myself, and I've got to follow. Can I tell you, respect authority, respect the Word and teaching of God, respect the service of God, respect submission. Respect submission. That's not an old school thing. That's not an old hat thing. That's not for her. That's not for him. That's not for them. That's for you. Respect submission. Jesus Christ said, not my will, but thine be done. One more verse, if you'll turn with me to the right, to Philippians chapter 2. Galatians, Ephesians, in the book of Philippians chapter 2. Respect submission. Be humble. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, he was God, but made himself of no reputation. He didn't exalt himself. Took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, because those that make themselves a servant will be exalted. Those that are humble will be exalted. And hath given him a name which is above every name. What happens when you humble yourself and follow God? Verse 10. When you're submissive to God, what happens? That at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When you respect submission, when you respect authority, when you respect God's ways and not my ways, when you don't reject His path, when you honor His path, when you respect the service of God and you plug yourself in and you follow God's structure in His church and you follow God's authority, the Savior is exalted. souls are evangelized, and other servants are edified. When you respect submission. Can I tell you, if there's something in your life this morning, if you find in yourself that you're bucking authority, and that you know that God's teaching you something, or you know that God's allowing you to go through something, or you know that God wants to work in your life, but you don't have that clean conscience, and you know you owe your submission to somebody else, and you have that debt on you, and you have that weight on you, or you're under the wrath of God because you are not respecting authority, respect authority. Have you left God's ways? Have you left God's paths? Can I tell you that if this church is preaching God's Word, and that if this church is singing the hymns, the psalms, and the spiritual psalms of God, it's going to be because of individuals respecting that old ordinance, respecting that old way, respecting those old songs, respecting the Word of God, and teaching them in their personal life. Is that you? Do you have a respect for others' burdens? Do you have a respect for what the lost souls are being weighed down by sin? Do you have a respect for that? And just as Jesus Christ on the cross took our sin debt and our sin burden on Him, will you take that on yourself for others in prayer? Do you have a passion for the lost and a passion for those weighed down, for those Christians that need to be lifted up, for those Christians that need to be edified? Can I tell you, the only way to do it is for you to be in the service of God. For you to be submissive to the Holy Spirit and be willing to be there for that person. And do you respect submission? Are you humble? God will exalt Jesus Christ in your life if you are humble and if you are a servant in God's eyes. Psalm 119 and verse 6 says, "Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments." Is that humility said by that psalmist in your life? Submission to God's ways. Let's stand this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. As you stand again, the psalmist said, "Then shall I not be ashamed." The only way for you to not be ashamed this morning is if you do this: "When I have respect unto all thy commandments," all thy commandments, whether it be authority, whether it be other burdens, others' burdens, whether it be God's ways, whether it be the service of God. Can I tell you, there is something that you can do this morning that you're not doing yesterday. Is it submission? Submission's not for him or for her or for them. It's for you. Be a disciple by having respect unto all of God's commandments. Lord, we thank you for the preaching this morning. God, draw us closer to you in this next time of prayer and singing. In Jesus' name, amen.
What page do we have over there? Page number 308 in the songbook this morning. Preacher has preached about submission to a